we feel compelled now in this environment to raise our voices in defense of God-given human dignity.
We bishops advocate for a meaningful reform of our nation's immigration laws and procedures.
To our immigrant brothers and sisters, we stand with you in your suffering, since when one member suffers, all suffer. You are not alone.
Secure borders saves lives. I wish the Catholic Church would understand that. We have the right to secure our borders like they have the right to secure their facility. ISIS sent a message to the whole world, don't give your life savings to come to the country because you're not going to be released. You're not going to cross the border illegally, you're going to be prosecuted. So the Catholic Church is wrong. I'm sorry, but I'm a lifelong Catholic. I'm saying it as not only a borders, I'll say it as a Catholic. I think they need to spend time fixing the Catholic Church, in my opinion.
I was with Tom Homan a couple days ago in Mar-a-Lago, and I was just reminded of how much good this man is doing to save trafficked children and those lost during the whole Biden invasion. As church leaders debate back and forth on this, what ICE is doing, I don't hear that enough. I don't hear us talking about those kids and saving those kids. That's what we need to be addressing. And ICE is doing the work, and we want to support them in doing that.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. And so guess what's happening? The ICE officers are out there, fathers themselves, families, they're being doxxed, they're being threatened, they're being rammed by illegal immigrants and cartels and other criminal elements. They're trying to stop criminal elements in this country, and anyone who's come across the border willingly, knowingly, not being a citizen is a criminal. Now, they're concentrating on people who've committed heinous acts. They're getting them, but they're sweeping others up. And while they're doing that, hot off the press, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has come out with a strong rebuke of the Trump administration. As a matter of fact, longtime church observers call it perhaps the strongest collective denunciation of a U.S. president by the Catholic hierarchy in American history. All right, so what is that all about? We're going to talk about that today on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7. But first, on the issue of immigration and almost every issue, I think the common denominator of concern and heartbreak and the thing that touches us all is the life of babies. It's not just their life, it's the birth, it's the family element, it's the mother. We all have mothers. Most of us have had babies, not all of us, but children, brothers and sisters. There's something in our humanity which draws us to that, which even the toughest guy like a Tom Holman or even the toughest criminal has a tenderness in their hearts for babies. And there's a reason for that. It's because God has created us that way. We have this tenderness that's kind of wired, hardwired into us. And so for a second, let's think about, we're going to talk about a lot of things, but think about a woman who's caught in an unplanned pregnancy. Some of you women might think back to your teenage years. We know we lived, many of us didn't come up in innocent times. And you can still imagine what it would have been like if you had been pregnant. Maybe you have been. You found out you were pregnant, out of wedlock, the panic of that. Or some of you have been married with multiple children. Maybe the financial burden is pretty great in your home and you think about taking on another child or your age or whatever, your health. It doesn't take much to imagine what it's like for a woman to be find out that she has an unplanned pregnancy. Well, I'll tell you one woman that did that. She's an older woman. She was barren and really deeply distressed because she couldn't have children. Humanly, it was unexpected that she could have a son at her advanced age. After all, Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100 when Isaac would be born. God's plan of redemption often works in the unplanned. Isn't that the truth? And so with that beautiful thought, I would just encourage any of you that know someone who's in an unplanned pregnancy or, you're closer to it. Maybe you work in a crisis pregnancy center or you've experienced it. You have a granddaughter. I don't know what. But think about it. God does work in the most wonderful ways with things that are unplanned. If you would like to stop women from making really bad decisions, young or old, about the taking of the life of their baby, preborn provides ultrasound so that they can see them, get acquainted, and actually brings the child to life, so to speak, for the mother. One ultrasound is $28. You just have to go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. All right, well, this is Sandy Rios, as you well know, with Sandy Rios 24/7. And this is an important topic today. When I heard this news over the weekend, actually, I just had to talk to you about it. You know, the Catholic Church, let me make this clear before I go on. I'm not picking on the Catholic Church. I have so many things to pick on, my own denomination, other denominations. It's my intention to speak the truth and to bring discernment to all of these complex issues. And that's what I'm pledged to do as God gives me strength on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
As pastors, we, the bishops of the United States, are bound to our people by ties of communion and compassion in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are disturbed when we see among our people a climate of fear and anxiety around questions of profiling and immigration enforcement.
We are saddened by the state of contemporary debate and the vilification of immigrants. We are concerned about the conditions in detention centers and the lack of access to pastoral care.
We lament that some immigrants in the United States have arbitrarily lost their legal status. We are troubled by threats against the sanctity of houses of worship and the special nature of hospitals and schools.
We are grieved when we meet parents who fear being detained when taking their children to school, or when we try to console family members who have already been separated from their loved ones.
Despite obstacles and prejudices, generations of immigrants have made enormous contributions to the well-being of our nation. We as Catholic bishops love our country and pray for its peace and prosperity.
For this very reason, we feel compelled now in this environment to raise our voices in defense of God-given human dignity.
Catholic teaching exhorts nations to
recognize. All right, I'm going to interrupt the distinguished gentleman. I mean, if that doesn't put you to sleep, I don't know what will. But I, you know what? This is typical. I just have to say, before I get into the immigration thing, when there, I think of that scripture where it says, having a form of godliness, but lacking the power thereof. They lack the power. Those men are not plugged in. They're not plugged into the Almighty God because he is not boring and he's not stupid. He doesn't give you word salads to say things like that. And I just have to address a couple of those phrases before we get into this. That was their statement. My understanding is, I have a good, on good authority, that Pope Leo, Mr. Pope Leo, the new pope who's, you know, been so exciting so far, accusing the Jews, the Israelis of killing Christians in Gaza and bombing churches. Well, that much we know about the new Pope Leo, but now he is the one on good authority that is has insisted that the bishops make this statement. Pope Leo, of course, is a Chicagoan. He was actually raised not far from where Bruce was raised. So it's interesting, you know, it's a very democratic stronghold. And I don't know what his politics. Well, yes, I think I do know what his politics are. This is against the Trump administration, no doubt about it. And I'll make that case a little bit later. But let's talk about some of the phrases. Let me address them. We're worried about this climate of fear. What does that mean? We have criminal elements in this country attacking American citizens, stealing information, executing fraud on the American people, and you're worried about a climate of fear for them? That's okay. You're worried about them being afraid, these poor criminal illegal immigrants. Thank you, bishops. And profiling. I think I'm profiling Catholic bishops right now. I say dull, a blank stare in their face, no passion, and no wisdom, that's for sure. I think that's what I see in a Catholic bishop in that video. But and the other one says, we hate what we hear, people sending their children to school, and they're worried that their children will be taken or the parents will be taken. Look, these children going to American schools are stealing the places of American children. They have no right to go to our schools, public or private. A private, I guess you can do what you want. But you don't have a right. It's not your school. It's not your country. You are stealing the place of American children. And but they feel it's just terrible. They don't feel so badly about American children not being able to have those places or suffering in other ways, which I'll get to. But they do care about the immigrant children not being able to go and steal that spot at school from an American. They don't worry about that. The vilification of immigrants. The vilification. Well, you know, all of my life being raised in America, when there were criminals, we vilified them. I remember the first time we stopped vilifying that I know of in my adult life was 9/11. We knew that we had been attacked and that 3,000 Americans had been killed and that the people that did this hated us and they were our enemies. But guess what happened? Within the next breath, we were shamed. We were Islamophobic. We were fill in the blank. So I guess the Catholic bishops probably felt that way. You can't, you know, vilify people. You can't, even if they're criminals, if they, you know, killed Americans and if they perpetrated crimes or did had traffic accidents because they couldn't read English, you can't vilify those poor people. Those are our people. That's what they're saying. And so I could go on and on. I could take on every single phrase, but it would take way too long. But there's an interesting article. This is what brought this to my attention. The writer is Tim O'Brien, and he writes for PJ Media. I don't know Tim, but he's Irish Catholic. And he sort of lays this thing out. And this is what he writes. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, reportedly at the urging of Pope Leo XIV, on Wednesday in Baltimore, in a rare and almost unanimous statement, in objection to ICE's enforcement of American immigration law. And again, in the church, this is unprecedented. The bishops voted 216-5 to approve what they termed as a special message on immigration. Out of the five who didn't vote in support of the message, in typical Catholic clergy fashion, three abstained. This left only two out of 221 Catholic bishops to hang out on a limb and show their support for the current administration's law enforcement policies. So what he's saying is only two Catholic bishops stood against what was said. Reports are that after the vote, the bishops then stood up and applauded themselves. Yay! Reminds me of, you know, kids, when you praise them when they do something and they clap for themselves. And this is part of the quote of the long clip. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but it says, "We oppose the indiscriminate mass deportation of people." People, not illegal immigrants, just people. Like we're just deporting just people off the street, you know, Polish Catholics or, you know, Episcopalian, white Episcopalians, about 80. We're just deporting everybody indiscriminately. And they oppose that. We pray for an end to dehumanizing rhetoric and violence, whether directed at immigrants or at law enforcement. And they throw that in. I don't think they care about what the attacks on law enforcement. That's just a phrase added in there. What in the statement did they say anything about caring about ICE officers? Nowhere, I have to say. So that's just a smokescreen. I don't think they said anything about that. The bishops listed a large number of issues that they have with President Trump's actions, framing the whole issue not as law enforcement, but instead as creating a climate of fear among those who are knowingly in the country illegally. And there was a huge response to this, as you can imagine. Lara Logan, who's Catholic, she said, "In case you're wondering, the current pope is a globalist traitor, just like the last one, and I'm Catholic, so spare me." And so Matt Walsh of The Blaze said this, "I don't recall the bishops making any sort of video like this to condemn the Biden White House for supporting, funding, and facilitating the mass slaughter of children in the womb. I also can't remember seeing any video with solemn condemnations of the Biden White House and its policies that harm people." Mark Hemingway of The Federalist, Mark is Molly's husband. He said, "I understand why the bishops felt compelled to make this video. What I don't understand is why there was no similar action from bishops when our border policy created human trafficking at an industrial scale and was a massive humanitarian crisis, much bigger than ICE abuses. Those are some notable responses from some notable people that I think have a pretty good head on their shoulders. And one last thing about Tim O'Brien. Tim points out that he was involved in the St. Patrick's Day parade. I don't know what town. It might have been New York. But you might recall, some of you will, that the LGBTQ community tried to take over that parade, and it became a big fight. And, of course, the Irish parade, the St. Patrick's Day parade, is about St. Patrick, who was a believer, an evangelist to the island of Ireland. It's a great story, actually. And it's about faith, and it's about, you know, the Irish traditions. That's what it's about. They welcome other people to be part of the parade. It's been a big deal for years. But when the LGBTQ crowd came in, they wanted to take it over. With their obscene actions, their dances, their lewdness, that's what they wanted to do. And Tim O'Brien actually took that on, fighting back. And this is what he says about the Catholic bishops. He tried to get them involved, and they wouldn't do anything. They wouldn't say anything. They wouldn't speak up. And so this is pretty disgusting to him. And, well, it is to me, too, I have to tell you. He said that this is Catholic culture that I wouldn't know about. I see it, but I'm not in that culture, so I'm not sure. He said that the bishop absolutely refused. He said, like most Catholic bishops, he consistently avoided making public statements on anything that truly required leadership. Instead, his public statements on most issues were vanilla and predictable. Now, this part's important. And again, I'm sure many of you are Catholic, and I'm going to get into other things. I don't want to be offensive to you, but I have to speak the truth, and I know you understand that. And I also know that many of you see the flaws here, and so we're going to keep talking about it. Tim goes on to say, the Catholic faithful tend to be quite comfortable with bishops being vanilla. Don't make waves. Don't say anything that makes news. Be soft, be gentle, be milquetoast. This is the default public position on most issues for most Catholic clergy. It seems to be unsaid, but understood that if you're a local bishop, the Vatican doesn't want to have to deal with some situation that you have created. So therefore, to take such a strong position against the Trump administration in his enforcement of American immigration law is incredible. They never do this, not even when the issue is the killing of babies in the womb. They don't come out this strong, not even when the issue is how violent predators who happen to be illegal immigrants are victimizing innocent Americans. The bishops noticeably did not talk about the American citizens whom illegal immigrants have killed or about others who have paid a high price as a result of letting millions cross into America illegally. So what happened? And, of course, he goes on to explain that Pope Leo was pushing this. And that's pretty despicable. I think Catholics need to know that. So we'll start with that. But there's more to say about this. And I want to make a point. You might recall, of course you do, those of you that are Catholic do, that the Catholic Church has been under such a cloud over sexual abuse and that the bishops were silent over that, the pedophilia among the priests, abuse of children. And that makes me come to this. I told you a couple of years ago when we went to the music festival down in Texas for J6, it was a movie festival, and one of the movies that was produced wasn't about J6. It was on the kids being brought across the border by coyotes and what was happening to them under the Biden administration. And you may recall that I told you that I saw videos of them handing, I'll just mention this one, a little baby, to a man who looked, I'm telling you, strange. All by himself, a heavy guy, taking this baby in his arms. He was flying across country. He had no diapers, no food for this baby. And that was an example of the kind of person that the Biden administration was allowing to take all these children. The coyotes are bringing them across. There's money being exchanged. And so Kayleigh McEnany did an interview actually with Madison Sheehan, and she's the deputy ICE director for ICE. And they were talking about this whole issue of the children and being trafficked. And so I want you to just, this is how Kayleigh describes the people that have been handed these children. This is clip 8.
Deputy ICE Director Madison Sheehan joins us now. It's great to speak with you, and it's so important what you are doing. I want to scroll the results of your operation to find these nearly 500,000 children. Here are some of the sponsors that you found. These are children who were placed with these individuals all across the country. Madison, Arizona, felony aggravated assault. Another sponsor, larceny. Another sponsor, domestic violence. You can see all of these sponsors. Why did the Biden administration place children with these individuals?
Look, when you have open border policies like the Biden administration did, there's no telling who is coming into this country. And these coyotes and the worst of the worst were using children to come into this country because they knew they would remain unvetted. They allowed them to run free throughout this country. We think it's over 500,000 people that the Biden administration has allowed to be trafficked into this country and put with some heinous criminals that they say are their mentors and their sponsors. And that's just not true. We've made it our mission, thanks to President Trump and Secretary Noem, to go find these children and reunite them with their families. And we have great partnerships through our 287G program and our other federal partners to be able to go find these kids. It's our job as law enforcement to protect the most vulnerable. And that's exactly what we're able to do, thanks to President Trump's leadership on this issue.
You know, so when I was discussing this with you a couple of years ago after watching that movie, apart from that baby being handed to that heavy, fat, slimy guy with no woman with him for a cross-country trip with a baby, with no diapers, with no food, well, that's not all there was. There were apartment buildings identified in New York City. These are like hotels. I should say hotels. They filled them with children. All floors, every room, and they had maybe half a dozen people overseeing multiple floors of children. What do you think happened? What do you think happened? And at the same time, Javier Becerra, who was the Health and Human Services Director under Biden, was pushing them to let more and more children in. They said it's like a factory. You just have to get more and more in. Why were they doing that? Why were they doing that? This is so disgusting. So now we have hundreds of thousands of these kids, and the Trump administration is doing everything they can, moving heaven and earth to identify these children and get them back to their home countries or do something with them besides letting them languish. I think Kaylee McEnany, actually, I should have started with this, but Kaylee really kind of gives the overview of this situation right now. This is clip 6.
Fox News alert, ICE announcing a brand new operation to conduct welfare checks on the 450,000 children that the Biden administration placed with unvetted sponsors, some of whom were sex traffickers, gang members, and abusers. The Trump administration has already located more than 24,400 children, and some of these stories are absolutely heartbreaking, like this one. A one-year-old unaccompanied minor crossed the border during the Obama administration. That little girl is now 12 years old. During her 11 years in America, she lived with a series of relatives and endured horrifying abuse. According to Fox's Brooke Taylor, she was found in the custody of two sisters who have now been arrested. The 12-year-old was found, quote, with injuries all over her body, extreme malnutrition, and an infected gash on her head, and zip ties around her wrist. Among those who abused this innocent child were her one-time sponsor, a distant uncle that she was placed with in 2024, despite being an illegal immigrant with a criminal conviction. That sponsor, that alleged abuser, was given temporary protected status by the Biden administration. Why? Here is video that Brooke Taylor obtained of the Trump administration arresting that man just yesterday. This is just one of the nearly 500,000 children that the Trump administration is seeking to protect.
It's really breathtaking, and I have to go back now and make the obvious connection. Why would Catholic bishops, given their recent history, and some would say they've never even quite solved the problem like they should have about the sexual abuse in the Catholic Church of children, how dare they ignore this issue and ignore ICE officers trying to rescue these kids? and make them the bad people for not showing compassion, creating a climate of fear, ICE is, for those people that are perpetrating this horrific stuff on kids and crime on the streets and crime on the roads where they don't have licenses and can't read English. We should feel sorry for them. We should have compassion for them. We are vilifying them if we point out ranchers have been suffering so much on the southern border for so long in Texas and Arizona and New Mexico. They've lost their property, has been completely trampled. They've been in danger. They've stopped speaking about it because it didn't do any good to talk. Nobody cared. But people care now. And so we have a lot of cleaning up to do. And how dare those bishops, how dare they take time to start now, defend these, the criminal element among us, and condemn ICE officers and the Trump administration for trying to do something about it. I have no patience for this. So there are areas of the country, of course, where there is a ton of resistance to ICE, and you know that. And Chicago, of course, is my hometown, Bruce and mine, and they're getting tremendous resistance. And you might not be too surprised if I tell you that the south part of Chicago where this resistance is taking place is a Catholic stronghold. You think these policies, these statements by these bishops don't have an impact on faithful Catholics? Of course they do. I find that, you know, we've talked about this on the issue of Israel. They've created the Catholic leadership, and this Pope, Leo, has caused so much confusion and conflict, and how horrible to have to live in conflict with your own church. And many of us understand that because we have the same problem in different ways. In fact, I'll illustrate that in a minute. But I want to show you, Madison was asked by Kaylee, what's different? They just did this huge raid or operation in Florida where they located several of these kids who've been here since the Biden years, languishing, really virtually in, made slaves by these sex slaves and other kinds of things by these nefarious, horrible, criminal, illegal immigrants that the bishops are so concerned about, living in a climate of fear. Well, let's listen. This is clip 9.
With the state of Florida, we have a fantastic partnership. Using our 287G program, we're able to work together to share intelligence and targeting information to go after those sexual predators. These are people who have already committed crimes in the United States or even in their home country, and they've been able to run free for years. We're able to target them based off the sexual predator data that we have and the intelligence that we have at the local level to go after these heinous criminals that are just sitting in our communities. If we were to go into a state like Illinois or California to do this, we would not see the cooperation that we do at the state level like we do in the state of Florida, making it much harder for the men and women of ICE to go and do their jobs, because Governor Pritzker continues to villainize our law enforcement as they go out and enforce the law as it's written.
Okay, so there's another reason why Catholic bishops, we think, it's not just their whatever twisted view or unwillingness to protect children under their own watch in their own church until they were pushed to the wall and made to do it. What's that all about? That's supposed to be a church. It's supposed to be, you know, I have my own feelings about it, but they're supposed to represent or be the heirs of the apostles, the heirs of Peter. They're supposed to be. That's what they think they are. How in the world? How in the world did they get to the point where they ignore and look the other way on sex abuse in the church? And now we do the same thing publicly with illegal immigrants. How does that happen? Well, I would say that there's another reason here going on, and I've also discussed this with you, but I have to reintroduce it. You remember the Obama years and then later in the Biden years, I talked with Rosemary Jenks, who is just a national treasure on immigration, all kinds of immigration. And Rosemary and I were discussing this whole thing about refugee resettlement, and I talked to other people about it too. So-called refugee resettlement. All these people are coming across the border. This is prior to the Biden administration going bananas on letting, what, maybe 50 million people cross the border, just giving us an open border. It's just so disgusting. I can hardly even now comprehend it. But before that, we had Obama doing similar things, because that's the way it goes. The leftists want open borders because you can see why now. Can you not? Can you see how it tears down the fabric and cohesiveness of society? Can you see how it drains the country, that it creates crime and chaos? Yeah, they love that because that's how you take over a country, and that's what they've been trying to do. But the Catholic bishops have another kind of interest, and it is refugee resettlement. And Catholic Charities has made millions, well, maybe billions, I'll just say millions, of money and from tax dollars. Grants given by prior administrations, the Obama administration, the Biden administration, to have them build these huge facilities to so-called resettle, to but what they end up doing is making sure that they get phones, making sure they get cards, access to medical care, they get a lawyer, they get all of these things. That's what the Catholic bishops have been doing. And trust me, it's big business. I'll give you an example. Let's see. Just not sure what the year is on this. Oh, this is dated February 20th, 2025. For this, I don't know where, I don't know if this is for the year 2025. It has to be. It can't be for multiple years because, hey, this is big business. $140.9 million going to Catholic bishops, Catholic charities, through providing refugee resettlement, you know, helping the poor. That's what they do. They help the poor with your money, and they help themselves while they're helping the poor. And so it's the recipient of that 100, and I've got it right here in writing, because Megan Basham, Shepherds for Sale, I think was her book. She was our guest probably 6 months ago. Megan does a great job of exposing the apostates in the Protestant church. So she put this documentation on Twitter. And so it's this money, $140.9 million from the U.S. Treasury for refugee resettlement, goes where? The recipient is the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. So let's think. Do you think that maybe the fact that the border is closed and these refugees are not coming along might make them a little motivated by, you know, show me the money? I'm confident they're motivated by that. And it's pretty disgusting. It's disgusting. So it is a complete racket. This is from a guy named Andrew Colvett. Andrew said, I worked with another faith-based refugee settlement group at the very start of Trump's first term. He immediately slashed refugee numbers, and it was treated as an existential threat to the organization because they made millions from government contracts. A full PR war room approach was launched. I immediately recognized it was a racket. They supported mass refugee resettlement, not because many of these people were legitimate refugees. Some were, but most were not. Or because it was the best thing for America, but because these immigrants represented huge revenues. They became customers to make a profit from, and taxpayers were the piggy bank. Without the refugees, the entire future of the organization was jeopardized. Refugee resettlement is big business, and they use emotional manipulation and out-of-context Bible verses as the sales pitch. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what the Catholic bishops are doing. But they're not the only ones. I want to go back in time. Actually, for those of you that have listened to me for a number of years, when I did the morning show, American Family Radio, you might recall that this was another moment for me when I lost my temper and took on an issue. 2013. And it went something like this. There was an organization formed called the Evangelical Immigration Table. And they made a video. And the video, let's see, I'm going to tell you, is Max Lucado, Richard Land for the Southern Baptist Convention. It was just a number of people like that, notable people. Bill Hybels was one of those people. And, of course, Bill was still in good standing at the time. And people thought, you know, he was the cool guy and had the largest church in the nation. But this is how that video sounded. So I just want you to go back, rewind machine. This is 2013, and this pops in my inbox. Let's listen. Clip 10.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him,
he will sit on his glorious throne.
all the nation will be gathered before him.
And he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats.
He will put the sheep on the right, the goats on his left.
Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father.
Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.
For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink.
I was a stranger, and you welcomed me.
I was a stranger.
I was a stranger.
I was a stranger.
Fui extranjero y me invitaron a su hogar.
I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me.
I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me."
And then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you?
Or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you
in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When all did right. we see
yeah,
you
Yeah, we don't need to listen to all of it. You get the gist of it. And they go on. And one of the guys that was on that clip was Steve Bauman, who's the president and CEO of World Relief, which I can tell you firsthand went used to be an incredible organization. And they went way left and south a long time ago on the issue of LGBTQ. But some people still don't even know that, because they had such a great reputation. It took a long time for them to, you know, kill it. Okay, so what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is it is a perversion and twisting of scripture, of terms. I don't know that every person in that video understood how they were being used, and I'll tell you how badly they were used in just a second. But when the Bible talks about strangers and sojourners, it's not talking about invaders who make their way forcefully into a territory and start to act as though they are entitled, that they deserve, that they come for enemy purposes. They don't come to assimilate. They come to be hostile and take stuff. That's theft. That's not what the Bible is talking about. And I could go into that particular little video. I did in detail, took the whole thing on in detail. But let me just say in general, it turns out that video and the evangelical immigration table, I think it's what the title is, came about through the efforts of a guy named Jim Wallis. Okay, so who's Jim Wallis? Jim Wallis, W-A-L-L-I-S. He was one of the voices on the video, deep voice. He's a pastor, quote unquote, with my fingers. He participated in that. He gathered all these people and Bill Hybels, and they did their little part. It turns out that Jim Wallis, which I knew from Wheaton College, Jim went to Wheaton College a number of years ago. I'm from Wheaton. My son went to Wheaton. Many of my friends are from Wheaton. I know Wheaton College, and Wheaton College used to be a wonderful place. Jim Wallis visited Wheaton College and was the instrumental person to break down the barriers on lesbianism and a gayness on Wheaton College. Very subtle, very dangerous. It turns out Jim Wallis is working for guess who? Well, we know from the records he was working for George Soros. We know that he got money, and so did this immigration roundtable, from George Soros, because George Soros believes in open borders. And a long time ago, one of the strategies we know now from documents of Open Society, which is George Soros' organization, was to infiltrate the church. The Catholic Church, the Evangelical Church, and just kind of confuse people a little bit. I had a front row seat to that in D.C. when it first started. And it's so subtle that people are so easily duped. And I think that's certainly what we're seeing in the Catholic Church. I don't know if those bishops are being, are duped because they don't know any better, or if they're duped because they're making money off of it. But I think those pastors... And then I was a stranger video. Some of them weren't duped because they knew what they were doing. But others, I don't think they did. It's a twisting of scripture. It is a twisting perversion of scripture. It's because of that video that Kellyanne Kohlberg, who's a good friend and she's often been my guest, ended up pinning or promoting a book called Wise Welcome. And I want to commend it to all of you right now. Wise Welcome, W-I-S-E, Wise Welcome. You can find it online. It's a pamphlet, but it explains the biblical principles in immigration using scripture. It's very well thought out, and I would really commend that to all of you. But back to the Catholic bishops. is a real hero in all of this that I want to commend to you. You know, there are always truth tellers who just will not bend. And the Catholic Church has some of those good men, too. One of them is Joseph Strickland. That name might ring a bell with you because he was the bishop from Tyler, Texas. And he was put in place there by Pope Benedict. You remember Pope Benedict was that soft-spoken. I loved Pope Benedict. But he was like booted out in a really, really very weird way by Pope Francis. Pope Francis, the guy who loved gay marriage and LGBTQ, who pushed the envelope in every way for the Catholic Church, somehow persuaded Pope Benedict to step down. I'm not sure that's ever happened in the history of the Church, but Pope Benedict was that gentle, committed to the Word. I would disagree with him on a lot of theological issues, but he had a reverence for God and an honoring of God's Word. But they got rid of him, and Pope Francis took his place. And Joseph Strickland was appointed as Bishop of Tyler by Pope Benedict. But guess who removed Joseph Strickland from his position as bishop in Tyler? Well, it was Pope Francis. Pope Francis couldn't stand the things that Joseph Strickland was saying because he was speaking the truth. He's a real man of courage, and I'm going to give you an example. This is what he wrote as a result of this video that the bishops made. He said, "Dear faithful Catholics, these words came to me after awakening this morning. They are words I should have said to break the silence after my intervention at the USCCB meeting, the bishops' meeting. I say them now to Pope Leo, to the bishops, and to all who claim to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Quote, how long will you halt between two masters? If you believe Christ is Lord, then follow him. If the world is your master, then go to it. But no longer profane his sanctuary while you betray the cross." Now that's a scripture verse in case you didn't recognize it. How long will you halt between two opinions? That's the way it starts. He goes on to say, "Bishop, stop with the games. Stop with the lives. Stop turning a blind eye to the little ones. A massive stockpile of millstones is ready to be distributed among you. One for Pope Leo, a truckload for the Curia in the Vatican, and cargo ships full for the vast majority of today's successors of the apostles. How dare I speak these words? How dare I judge these princes of the church? No, brothers, how dare you inflict harm on the little ones over and over again?" And then he goes through a series of examples of how they harm the little ones. They're all powerful. But he ends with, "You harm the little ones when you promote lawlessness and turn a blind eye to the rapes, the murders, and the attacks of nefarious criminals who waltz across open borders. Some of the little ones are caught up in these mass migrations and trampled upon as they seek a better life. And some of the little ones find their homes and towns invaded, as shepherds say." And you're the shepherds. "We must welcome the stranger and then allow marauders and criminals free reign. We must all seek Jesus Christ as Lord and hear his call for repentance. We must say no to the depravities of the world and bring the light of truth to all the dark corridors of the world. We must say no to the lawlessness that turns a blind eye to sin. We must believe that Jesus Christ is Lord." And that is, again, Dr. Joseph Strickland. He was the former bishop in Irving, Texas. He's still in Tyler, and obviously he's still writing, but I don't know what his status is with the church. I just know he was removed as bishop, you know, because he opposed the Pope Francis on so many different things. There are heroes of the faith everywhere, and for that we're very grateful. We're going to take a very brief break, and when we come back, I just have a few closing remarks about all of this on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7. Be right back.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
There are babies in their mothers' wombs who need our help right now. And as the year comes to a close, and it is coming to a close, it's coming too quickly, really. Your tax-deductible donation can be the difference between life and death. Would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your gift of $5, $10, or $15,000 would be used to save countless babies for years to come. It could buy an ultrasound machine, There's so many things they could do with that money, not designated, because, of course, they do a lot more than just provide ultrasound. If you would like to help in a big way at the end of the year, if you're able and you have the money, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
The church's teaching rests on the foundational concern for the human person as created in the image and likeness of God. As pastors, we look to the sacred scripture and the example of the Lord himself, where we find the wisdom of God's compassion. The priority of the Lord, as the prophet reminds us, is for those who are most vulnerable, the widow, the orphan, the poor, and the stranger.
In the Lord Jesus, we see the
All
one
right.
who became
it's
poor
the same
for
part
sake.
Of the montage. They're part of their statement, the Catholic yeah. bishops. Can you hear the twisting? People made in the image of God. What about these children we're talking about? And what about the people that the illegal immigrants are harming as they come across the border, the victims, the murders, the victims in car accidents, and the people ramming the ICE officers? They need compassion. You feel sorry for them. It's really detached from reality. And I just have a few words for you. I have to say, I think we're in a time of deception. And regardless of your religious background, your Christian background, and I won't talk about other backgrounds because I'm all about Christ. I don't think there's any other God, so I won't address that. But the basis of the Catholic Church, of course, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and the fact that he rose from the dead, and that's what we have in common with them. And I always try to concentrate on that. But out of that comes the word that we share. We share the same word of God, and the word of God is our authority. It has everything we need to discern these issues. And so when evangelical leaders, and there are many of them, getting away from the word, what is that? The Bible verse that says, and they did what was right in their own eyes? They say what's right in their own eyes. They adjust their message for the times. They say what they think itching ears want to hear. And so we have to take on, and this will be new for Catholics, but it applies to evangelicals too. We have to take on more responsibility for discerning what truth is from God's word. And I'm at the point where I listen to everything with a critical ear. Not as a critic, but as it's important to discern what truth is. And as I've said before to you, I find that people that are apostates, and I guess that's a harsh word, people that are apostates, it's not that they sound like they're apostates. They sound pretty reasonable, like if there's preaching or if they're speaking, lecturing, maybe 75, 80% sounds really good, maybe 90%. But then there's the 10%. And if you're listening carefully, you go, what? What? And then maybe you might have a tendency to say, well, but most of it's okay. But you can't do that because you see, it's like a river flowing. It's like the flow of a mighty river like the Mississippi is all headed in one direction, but sometimes something will happen that will cause a little tributary, a little stream to go off to the right or to the left, and that stream will end up getting bigger and bigger and wider and wider, and sometimes the tributary becomes the main avenue of flow. And so this is a law of nature that applies to thinking. We can't allow tributaries to take us off the path of truth. And that makes me think, of the verse that says that wide is the path that leads to destruction and narrow is the way, meaning the way of truth, and few there be that find it. I just challenge you to be those few. I think of Joseph Strickland, that brave bishop. I just admire him so much. We need to channel him, in the best sort of sense, and be like him, people of courage, independent thinkers, testing everything against God's word. And so I hope that this has been helpful to you, I want to commend again that little booklet, A Wise Welcome. Again, if you just Google it, you can find it. Wise Welcome. It's a small book, but it will help you to understand the conflicts between this kind of thinking that these evangelicals in their little video did, I was a stranger, and the thinking of the bishops. Now, I think the bishops, I'm not going to quantify. Both are horrible. Any kind of perversion of God's word or the use of God's word to make a point that isn't real or harms people is just not good. And I want to just say in closing, twisting scripture is what both groups have in common. You know, an illegal immigrant is a criminal. They invade, they know what they're doing, they come across, and then, of course, when they come across, they have to steal. They have to steal or they can't survive. And stealing can take many different forms. They can steal identification. They can take, they're handed by the Biden administration, they were, things they weren't entitled to. They go to emergency care centers, and so it's so much so that it's so full that Americans can't get emergency care. I'm overstating because in some cases they can't. You know what I'm saying. So allow me some overstatement here to make the point. But emergency rooms are full around the country. They're filled with illegal immigrants who they can't turn away. And then they're taking Medicare benefits. Oh, my goodness, you should see how many have signed up for Medicare. SNAP benefits. Women, single moms, Americans who are struggling to put food on their tables are struggling to get SNAP benefits because there's millions of illegal immigrants who are taking them. And by the way, they're going to completely do away with the SNAP program and make everyone start from scratch and sign up again because it's been so abused. So this is right. We have to have compassion on that. Then we've got the trafficking of children. We've got the murder of people on the roads, the truck drivers who are taking jobs as truck drivers when they don't even speak English. They're taking jobs from Americans. This is theft. What about Americans, bishops? What about your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors? What about that? Do you not have compassion for your own family? America is your family. The world is not your family. Not in the true sense of the word. We have obligations to the people around us, the people whose last name is Smith, like our last name is, but then also the people who share our town, the people that share our country. We are not equally responsible for people in Nigeria or Uganda or, you know, Switzerland. We have to take care of our own. And I'm not saying you do anything to hurt those people, but you first take care of your own. If you don't, there's something terribly wrong. And the last thing, why did God require walls? Because he did. They were commanded to build a wall, Jerusalem. It was for safety. It was for cultural and religious cohesion because God was big on that cohesion. And also, you know, just because the food supply, all of that was limited. It was for the people who lived around those walls. That was their job, was to take care of their own behind those walls. So the Vatican has a huge wall, and I guess that's a cautionary tale right there. If they feel so badly about the fact that we've put up a border on the southern part of our country, if they have a thing about walls, then they need to take theirs down. Otherwise, it's the height of hypocrisy. So I think that I've said all I need to say. Again, the narrow way, the truth, and let's just all try to be truth seekers, even in this issue. President Trump is taking a beating from these foolish people. Wicked, foolish people. And we need to understand what's at stake here. It's about our country. It's not about President Trump. It's about the preservation of our children and their future. Even H-1B visas, they're giving out those like candy. So we have foreign workers taking the technology jobs. This is what's happening so that our kids have no future. And this has to stop. The Biden administration was giving illegal immigrants money for down payments for homes. They were giving them special loans. And our kids can't even buy a home. That's how bad it is. You tell me where the compassion belongs, Catholic bishops and evangelical leaders. I think I know. All right, well, that's it for us today. I hope you enjoyed or at least learned something today. And I want to commend again that book to you, Wise Welcome. I want to commend to you Preborn. They always need your help. I know many of you are sponsors, long-term sponsors, and I'm so grateful to you. And so it's the end of the year. If you would like to give more generously, or have a particular gift you'd like to give, go to preborn.com/Sandy. If you're not able to do that, and you haven't given before, it's $28 for one ultrasound. So there you have it, preborn.com/Sandy. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.